good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Jenny, Johnny. Now, Yap Dublin, it's the youth programme.
Yeah.
Is that a very clever play on words yap, as yap being talk, you know, slang for talk?
Yeah, it works because we do a lot of talking and a lot of listening to young people and families.
Yeah, and talking is it's very important for self-esteem and confidence.
It
which,
is.
Which you are involved in big time. Now, will you tell us a bit about the Youth Advocate Programme, or YAP?
Yeah, the YAP Programme is a community-based programme and it's a family-focused service, and we use a strengths-based need-led model of delivery. In other words, we work with young people and families, mainly between the ages of 10 and 18, who may be finding themselves in difficulties or getting into trouble. We match a young person with an advocate who's from the local area and who has similar interests to the young person and has an understanding of where they come from. The advocate work with young people for up to 15 hours per week, and currently YAP is working in 16 HSE areas over the country with over 200 families at any one time.
Okay. And this is based on the presence of the Headstrong research, One Good Adult.
Yes.
So you have a young person and an adult, and they're going to build up a relationship, is it?
Yeah, we would work on the premise of, you know, the one positive role model. So when we get our referral in, the case managers in YAP would go out and meet with the young people and families, and basically we would ask them, what is it that you want from us for the next 6 months? So how can we help you? So from there, we come back and look at our matching process. So the case managers would look to see who's going to best suit the needs of that young person, the interests of that young person. So the case manager would then match an advocate who is a person from the local community that's brought in and trained and supervised by YAP. So it is on the premise of that positive, and that's what we work on for the 6 months.
Okay, and tell us about a bit about the young people that you are involved. These are the difficult backgrounds, is it, or they have certain problems, is it?
They would be referred in through the HSE, so social work would be involved at that stage.
Okay.
So they would refer on to us then.
They'd be in a bad situation or...
Can be various issues like difficulties in the family home, maybe alcohol or drug misuse,
okay.
Or the young person is getting into trouble with the authorities, or the young person is just being socially isolated, maybe within the home, maybe they're shy and can't communicate with other young people their own age, maybe they're having difficulty in attending school or there's difficulties within the school, and we help the young people integrate back into school if they've been out of school for a while, young people maybe with mental health difficulties. And also maybe young people who are feeling suicidal or depressed or maybe self-harming.
Okay. And the advocate, what would the advocate have to, you know, what experience would they have to deal with this young person?
As part of our model, there's no actual, like, educational requirements. It's life skills and experience themselves. And we go through a thorough recruitment process where they're brought in, they're trained by us in our YAP model. We have we've linked in with the HSE around Children's First, and then the case managers are brilliant. They the advocate comes back and links with the case manager on a weekly basis. There's regular supervision. There's throughout the 6 months, there's set meetings as well. So everything that we do with the young people and family, it's goal focused. There's a purpose to everything we do. So there's constant contact. So it's not as if the advocates are out there working on their own. Essentially, you know, they're being managed by case managers who are experienced and qualified.
Okay, and would these young people still be living at home, or would they move out? You know, depending on the situation, I suppose.
Yeah, we work with young people on the verge of coming into to state care. In some places, we do work with young people who are actually in care. We have different programmes as well. We do have an aftercare programme piloted in Cavan Monaghan, where we have young people, you know, that we're integrating back into their own accommodation, helping them source, link into social welfare, supporting them with daily basics as well. So, you know, the cohort of young people that we work with, it's a, you know, a good variety.
Yeah. The current climate as well, the economic situation leads to an awful lot of hardship within families. And, you know, I speak to other children's organisations, etc., etc. And they're in a situation where the parents are rowing over money and things like that, and this affects the young people. So is there a lot more people coming to see us? Because we have
a strong waiting list on every programme across the country. Yeah. We have a number of places that the HSE have several level agreement with us for. And yes, we've seen many difficulties. The one thing with the YAP programme works with the young person, not in isolation of the family, but works sometimes within the family home, and maybe teaches or shows different skills to the parents and looks at what strengths the parents have and the young person within the home, and build on them strengths, again encouraging them to maybe try new techniques that might work, especially maybe with dealing with teenagers. We look at parents and maybe look at the skills, they're maybe very good at dealing with young people up to a certain age, and then when they turn to the teenage years, there's a different set of core skills that's needed to parent to teenage kids, and maybe we can adapt with the parents and the young people to use them skills.
Yeah, and you mentioned bullying and cyberbullying and all this. This is getting very serious, or it is very serious now. So how would you deal with people who are affected by bullying? The advocate
would listen and talk to the young person and give them the safeguards of, if they're being cyberbullied, to ensure that they're telling people, to ensure that they're not holding it in and that they can't speak out to the advocate. And in that turn, we can look then at what support is around and inform the parents with the young person of what's happening.
And I think manage that with the parents, because like the staff in YAP, we have a great ability to be very positive and quite direct with the families. This is happening, how are we going to manage this? And work together so that, you know, when we leave after the 6 months, that what we put in place can actually be sustainable after the 6 months. So it's very much, we're going in, this is what's happening for you, tell us, you know, what do you want support with? So it's not us going in saying, we think this is what you need. It's how can we work together so that we can put a plan in place so that after the 6 months it can still be managed by the young people and families.
Get the people talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 6 months, you mentioned 6 months. Mm-hmm. That's the length of time the advocate works with the young person.
Yeah, it's a 6 month programme for up to 15 hours a week on a 6 month programme.
Okay. And the whole reason you're here is because what caught my eye was the 88% improvement in self-esteem and confidence of young people on the YAP Dublin North programme. That is a huge percentage. Mm. Would you like to tell us a little bit about some of the young people that you've been dealing with?
Yeah, it's great to get that feedback from the young people and families. And I suppose for us to capture that, because the work can be so broad, like as Johnny was saying, you know, to get the young people back in school, like that's a huge piece of work. We would have worked with a young person. There would have been a history of drug use in the family. It would have been very chaotic. The young person was moving from the transition from primary to secondary school. Socially isolated, didn't have any social interests. So as part of our role, it was to support around what was going on in the family home and trying to develop the young person's coping skills so that when we leave, that the young person is better able to cope with the environment, because things weren't going to change in the bigger picture. So with that young person, what we did was that once a week we'd bring him to a restaurant, and we'd soon discovered then that he couldn't use a knife or fork. So a big piece of work was every week we'd go to the local restaurant, order something different, like use the knife and fork. But also we were doing there was a set program that we found with the young person around self-esteem and confidence and identity. So that was incorporated into the goals on a weekly basis. And then the social side of it, it was around discovering what was in his local area, his interests, what could be managed after we left. So if there was a local scouts or boxing club, who would be able to take this young person after we left? So that was the type of thing that we set up with that young person, and it worked. But again, very practical, and developing skills in him that would be able to, you know, increase his self-esteem and confidence. So that's just one example. Of a young person.
Yeah, the follow-up scheme, that's very, very important in programmes like this. So you, when the 6 months is over, you're not just finished with the young person. As you said, you find if there's anything available in his area.
It's about being very practical and setting goals that aren't going to fail for the young person. And we have what's called, it's a wraparound, an ISP, an individualised service plan for the young people. So we get everybody involved that the young person has identified as somebody important in their lives, and we go around the life domains of the young person, so around school and how school is going and if they need support with homework, or social clubs. If mum can't bring the young person on a Friday night because they're going to be going out, or this is what they do every week, we look to see who can bring this person to their hobby so that it can be sustained after the 6 months.
Okay, fantastic stuff, is it? Where are you based?
We have 7 different offices around the country. We're based in Dublin North on the North Circular Road. We're based in Loud, Meath, Cavan, Galway, Limerick and Cork.
Okay, and your advocates, are they volunteers or...?
No, our advocates are paid advocates. They're paid on an hourly rate, and they're from the local communities. So when we are looking for people in the North Dublin area, we recruit specifically for people in that area and advertise in the North Dublin area for advocates to work with young people from that community.
Okay. Anything else? Any other success stories?
Yeah, I've loads.
Have you?
I do.
Please tell us.
I suppose there was another one that just stands out for me was siblings that we actually got referred in. Again, very socially isolated, lived in rural county. And when we actually got in, we discovered that they had no running hot water. Now, this was going on for a while and they didn't have the confidence to say it to anybody, so it was just a matter. How we discovered it was the siblings, their hygiene. So when we tried to address the hygiene with them, we actually discovered that they had no running hot water. So
when you say rural, was this a remote farmhouse?
No.
There was no running hot water in this day and age.
So, and they didn't have the confidence to tell anybody. So when we tried to address the hygiene, we discovered this. So it was about being very direct with the parents to say, do you have hot running water? And they said no. And we said, we can help you fix this. So it was around getting the number of the county council, making the phone call there with them so that they could see exactly what we were asking for. But as we got into it, I suppose there was a history of domestic violence when we got into the after starting with the siblings. So we identified a need there with mum. Mum was very, her confidence was very, very low, and that was having an influence on the kids. So I suppose the flexibility of the model allows us to be able to reach out to the mum, and we got her involved in local courses. And they had a car, but mum didn't have access to it. She didn't know how to drive, so we just matched her with an advocate, and we did her driving theory test, and supported her with actually achieving that. And she went on then to get her own driving license. So again, it's about being practical and resourceful and what's going to be, managed for these young people.
That's a horrible situation in this day and age, and it's all about improving self-esteem and confidence.
Yeah.
And you were able to take the mother in as well and sort her out. That's fantastic.
Yeah, really. It's powerful. It's an honour. It's an honour for us to be able to for families to open their door for us to go in. And I suppose when the case managers always say to the advocates, the first day you start with this young person or family is the day you walk away. So that all our goals, and we have to be practical for these young people and families, and goal focused. And we are.
Okay, you tell us a bit more now about different situations and that you just have to deal with, so people will know that you're there for them as well.
Yeah, and in some cases it could be a young person in one instance hadn't been at school for 2 years, and it was like, well, how do we get the young person back in school? Community, the education welfare officers were involved, and it was agreeing with the teachers, going to the school, negotiating, maybe can we look at a time that you come back in gradually for maybe 2 or 3 hours at a time, and that the advocate would support them in getting to school, and would be there to pick them up after the 2 or 3 hours in the school. So gradually we built this up over time, that the young person was in for the morning session, and picked up at lunchtime. The advocate would spend a bit more time with him doing the homework, catching up with where he was at. And eventually that the afternoon slot then became, and the young person got back into school for the full day and was attending regularly in school and got to do his junior cert. In the end, and that was just with the support of the advocate listening to him, the support of the school, and for a lot of schools they are very supportive to the app model coming in and actually supporting and seeing, well, what's going on in the classroom and how can we help and support in the homework area of with the young person.
That's fantastic.
The case managers, I have to say, are brilliant because they get the matching process, like, they really think about it and they get it right. And, like, if you get that one match with the young person and get the right advocate and get the interest, you know, if a young person, say, we had a young person who was really interested in rugby, but, like, so young, he was only 10, no male role model in his life, alcohol misuse in the family, and down to the advocate was a trainer for the local rugby team, rugby coach, yeah. So that was thought about. Like, it's not that you just pick the nearest person. Like, the whole matching process is thought about. Like, that advocate got that young person involved in rugby, and the camaraderie that he will get from being part of a team. Like, he was so excited. Like, the first night he came off the training pitch and said he feels already that he's after losing a few pounds. But the camaraderie that he was getting, like, and, you know, totally not aware of boundaries because he was part of this new team and just loved everybody. So it was about managing that with him and what's appropriate boundaries and what's not. So there is the bigger picture, I suppose, of what happens. Yeah.
And in situation, do you find a lot of situations are the parents are, as you mentioned, alcohol abuse and stuff like that. Now, you take the young person and you have great success with him. Do you fear for him when you're putting him back into that situation? Or not necessarily putting him back into that situation? Or, you know,
I think if we do have concerns, serious concerns, we report back into the HSE all the time. And we, like, when we're going to meet the families on the first day, that's what we say to them. If we have any concerns, we will be reporting into the HSE, but we will be telling you that this is what we're doing. But I suppose as part of our goals, it's if, you know, to develop this young person, that this is your life, so it's how can we make things better for you while you're here, and develop the skills and maintain them, you know, for him after we leave.
Okay.
Yeah, and with the Fulham family again, you're looking at the strengths of the family, and every family has strengths and every young person has strengths, and it's about really looking for the strengths within the person, within the mum, within the dad or whoever, to find that, build on that, and also build their confidence and self-esteem as well as the young people's self-esteem. And we have good results on the parenting skills, and I think 86% of the parents said their parenting skills have improved because of the intervention in YAP. And this is really down to our advocates who also come in from grassroots stuff, from the community, so they know what's going on in the area, they know the culture of the area, they talk the language of the area. And it's really coming in, sitting down and saying to mum and dad, listen, have you tried this approach? Have you looked this? I have my own kids. I tried this. I tried that. Or I've had experience of working with young people below in the football field, and we've tried to manage a crowd of young people this way. So it's about using them different skills and empowering the parents maybe to use them.
Yeah, and so I'm really sure I read somewhere that this is for 12 to 18-year-olds.
10 to 18-year-olds. Yeah.
But you're talking about getting involved with families and parents and everything, so it's much more broader than 10 to 18-year-olds.
Yeah, and then, like, each case is different. When we get the referral form, you know, it can say so much, and you go out and meet this young person, you know, and the family, and there's such a bigger picture there. But our model is brilliant, and that the flexibility of it, that we can, if a family needs something and identifies something, that we can be able to support them achieve that.
Okay. Now, if there are young people out there and they're listening to this and they're saying, my God, I'd love to get involved with YAP, they can't actually go directly to YAP, can they? They have to be referred to by the HSE, is it?
Yeah, currently the HSE is our sole funder at the moment. Even though we're a charity in our own right, we're funded by the HSE Child and Family Services. And we are looking to talk with CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, and Youth Justice, that they may also buy places of the YAP programme.
Okay.
So we're working closely with them so that we can get more places on the YAP programme for young people.
Well, it's a major undertaking after undertaking.
Yeah.
But you seem very happy, and I don't blame you. It's just 88% is huge. So what are your plans for the future now?
I'm with YAP 7.5, nearly 8 years, and I still love it as much as the first day I walked in. And I think, like, there's really good stuff, but it's because of the model and what we can do with the young people and families. So we just hope to keep expanding.
Yeah, and yeah. It is about that. It's about looking at, well, new approaches and always using new material that's coming out and trying new different things. And that's what our advocates, our case managers bring. Everyone brings something new to the programme, and every young person and family gets a bespoke programme. So in other words, they get an individualised programme. So no two cases are ever the same, because people's needs are different no matter where they are.
But the model stays the same.
The model stays the same and it's flexible. Yeah. So we can reach somebody, let's say, in North Dublin, or we can meet somebody in the Aran Islands, because we'll get somebody as an advocate out there.
That's fantastic. And I'd say it's very fulfilling when you see the success rate and you see the young people.
Yes, and it's great, and it's great to be in some of the wraparound meetings with the young people, which is one of these meetings where we have all the team players around the young person's life. This could be the school teacher, the social worker, it could be the local coach and the parents. And that's a very positive meeting. It's where everybody has to say something positive about the young person. Nothing negative is allowed to be in, because we always get that feedback, but it's something very positive about the young people. And in that, you can feel the atmosphere change in a room when the young person is told by maybe 7 or 8 adults around him what he's good at and something positive about them. And it really does lift the room, and it changes maybe the whole dynamic. If he was having a difficulty with a teacher, that can lift that, because all of a sudden he's hearing something positive from that adult saying to him.
Or even a parent. You know, for a parent who's dealing with stress every day, maybe for 14 years of a young person's life, to go into this meeting and say something positive about the young person, it can be so powerful for that young person. Yeah. You know, and they remember that.
Yeah, of course they do. Listen, you're doing fantastic work out there, and thank you very much.
Thanks for
talking to us this morning. The clock has beaten us, unfortunately. Hopefully we'll speak again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish you continued success. It's absolutely fantastic, the work you're doing.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming in to me.